Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you dream, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
to a Liquid Damage Lounge with me, Liquid Damage. Welcome to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor. Hi, A.P. Our group is filled with love and respect. We're also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe with listeners from over 77 countries. Can you believe it? That's amazing. The hosting team offer a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different going on every night of the week. You never know what we may have up our sleeves, like jokes, poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special events with poetic topics from A to Z. And you are invited to join us for all the fun. Just click on to listen to the live show or to hear any pre-recorded episode. And you can also call up to participate at 1-646-668-2837. You can find our hosts and hostesses writing over at allpoetry.com and hanging out in the A Team of Voices radio group chat room. Our hosts and hostesses push love and respect. Stop in and check us out. So, everybody's here tonight. Oh, let me welcome Hello, who's calling? It says Stuart. Hello,
he's
hello.
On the ball.
Okay,
yeah.
How's that?
It's strong.
There we go. Who is this?
Stuart, which is middle on All Poetry.
It is who?
Sorry, are you hearing me on the microphone?
I'm having a hard time, yeah. No, yeah, you're okay, it's just me.
Yeah.
All right, how about that?
That's
better. Good.
Okay, so I just have to adjust this a little bit, and all right, let's see, maybe this will work too. How's that? Better?
Yeah,
that's
no, good.
Good.
It's good.
Now, Stuart is who?
Okay, well, I'm Minstrel on All Poetry.
Minstrel! Oh, I'm so glad you made it. Let me punch you in real quick so I remember you. Great. And then while we're doing this, let me welcome Miss Tammy B. Is that you?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hi, Tammy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Minstrel's here and AP's here.
Okay.
And we're just starting our show. You haven't missed a thing.
I'm right on time.
Yep, you're
exactly.
Right on time. And let me get some things, notes taken. Okay, so I have a joke. I thought this was pretty cute. When I see lovers' names carved on a tree, I don't find it romantic or cute. I find it weird how people would take knives on their dates.
There you go.
There we go there. Why do people take knives on their dates? Well, to carve their name in a tree. I have my name carved in a tree with my husband in a big heart.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's years old. I mean, it's like 15 years old now.
Yeah.
Actually, friends have taken pictures of it and sent it back to me because I don't go there anymore. So they're
uh-huh.
taking care of me. Yeah, and it looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
A woodland tattoo.
Yes, a woodland tattoo, which I hear is really bad to do, so I don't do it anymore. It hurts the trees. But if you don't dig too deep, I don't know.
True. Well,
true.
The tree's still there, which is good news.
Yeah. And it loves, it makes art out of the carving. They burl over it and make beautiful art.
Yeah.
Yes. Great.
So anyway, we have a lot to get through tonight, so I thought we'd start out with some of the ones left over from last week. So, let's see. AP, do we want to start out with Frank SoundCloud and then from there give you a heads up, we'll do Rhonda and Addie Bookworm.
Yep.
So
okay, cool.
Why don't you put Frank's up on the board?
I will, yeah.
So, Minstrel, you didn't have any hard time plugging in with us?
No, actually, it was pretty easy. I just clicked on the link.
Right,
it said join, and I joined.
Right.
Well,
I never had anybody join like that before, so it was kind of interesting. But I'm glad you made it.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Okay, do we got Frank's up on the board?
It's up on the board by Laurie Onks, yes.
Okay. So here we go. Frank's or Laurie's piece.
dreaded sound of tick-tock from the last vintage clock ticks behind the hollow walls beneath the midnight moon. A harrowing ring heard suddenly, resounding into an eerie echo, so loud and haunting in nature by a daunting abandoned house. This is no place of fantasy. The horrid clock that I mention is no ordinary contrivance, but 'tis the evil keeper of time. Many unknown hidden secrets and untold truths remain silent within the old passing of time, the voices of the trapped soul. A thousand images rock my mind as I listen to their drowning cries. When the parallel world of terror awakens the once dormant spirits. I sweat of every minute past as the tick-tock of the giant clock then intensifies into a madness reverberating, a loud clang of steel. The clang has deafened my ears and my head rings from within whilst I try to escape the clock, but I cannot escape. It's ticking. I drop to my floor covering my ears as the noise does not seem to stop, but I sense that I shall be free at last. This is a terrible dream conceived. Then I realize I am strapped tight in a straitjacket of an asylum, all alone to face the darkness I fear with the ringing of the clock. I hear the voices discomposing me by the reality of an unbearable whore whose name is attached to the sound bursting my eyes from their sockets. No!
Another masterpiece of horror. I can hear the tick-tock of the clock as you read, and it reminds me of my own demise. With every tick-tock of the clock, I get closer to death. My favorite part was verse 3, I think. This is no place of fantasy. The horrid clock that I mention is no ordinary contrivance, for tis the evil keeper of time. That's just, I mean, so creepy. And great verse. And it gives reality to the rest of the poem for me. Thank you, my sweetheart, my sergeant of scary, my deputy of doom and despair, and my master of the macabre. Thank you forever, Lorient. Let me get you some comments. Tammy.
It was really hard for me to hear, but the parts that I did, as you said, for me, very haunting. The words, they were so terrifying, they kind of hung in the air for me, made it more mysterious and more macabre, as you said. Definitely
great words.
Definitely kept my attention.
Right on.
It was excellent.
Yes, Lorient is like that. He comes off with some great performances.
Oh, Yeah. Oh, that was great. I'm just sorry I couldn't hear it better.
Yeah, I'm sorry you couldn't either. With those SoundClouds, though, sometimes that's the deal.
Yeah.
I wish they would come and read them in person instead.
Yeah.
But. Okay, AP, what did you think?
A couple of things, Linda. I put a tree up there for you to show you that trees can survive many things, including joining together two live trees and coming out the other side. So I'm sure they can get through your little love hearts and tattoo on them. But putting that to one side, I'm going to talk about Laurent. Laurent's a traditional sort of Victorian sort of poet, and he uses a remarkable set of words, and he has a little subsection on the macabre, and his Vincent Price laugh is something to be beheld. It really is. So he is quality when it comes to the use of the darkness and the words he uses, Linda.
Right. Minstrel, what did you think?
Well, it's kind of scary. I like the hidden part of the poem, which is really about life. So many hidden secrets and untold truths remain silent within the odd passing of time, the voices of the trapped souls. 1,000 images rack my mind as I listen to their drowning cries when the parallel world of terror awakens the once dormant spirits. It's like there's a lot of stuff going on in life, a lot of stuff we don't even touch, and it's in the background. It's like it hovers like a nightmare, and like in a dream. Stuff that it's like conscious, but it's eerie and it's scary, and it's missing, and then all of a sudden it comes at you. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, good spin on that. Right on. Okay, Frank, we love you, our Laurent, Montaner, great job. You're spooking all my guests. So let's go on to our next poet, which is a very nice lady, Rhonda. And...
that's up on the board now. Linda?
Okay. I guess I'll read this one for her.
Do you want to read it, or do you want me to read it? Look at them.
I'll read it. Tammy, do you want to read it, Tammy?
See it right now.
Oh, okay. I'll read it.
This is
called Nature's Unrestrained Beauty by Rhonda Rosary. The hostage sun released from night's cage, climbing the sky with dragging steps. Joyfully, the forest and the sun cling to each other in celebration of the occasion. Graceful maiden trees with stunning crimson, natural curls putting on fashionable dresses, holding a festival in the sun's honor and clustering around the glimmering dance stage of the lake. The forest adorns herself with a woolen coat covered with a blaze orange soft fluff, enjoying listening to the air performing glorious music and singing cheerful romantic songs to fascinate the senses. Eager, turbulent life striding solemnly over Serenity's Grand Bridge, floating gently with the carefree fragrant lilies and the cargo stress becomes weightless. And I love this. She has a way of using color and sense in her poetry that you can actually smell yourself being there. But how she represented the sun coming to rise was genius, and the majesty of nature comes alive in this beautiful piece of art. We are experiencing some fantastic poetry tonight. The imagery in this is just stunning. My favorite part is verse 3. The forest adorns herself with a woolen coat covered with a blaze orange soft fluff, enjoying listening to the air performing glorious music and singing cheerful romantic songs to fascinate the senses. You see how she's using color and scent in this? Just beautiful. Both are so lovely, bringing out the majesty of nature. Thank you, Rhonda. This was beautiful. Minstrel, what did you think?
Well, I find that Rhonda's poetry always has a lot of imagery in it, and so it's like just loaded with it. It's lush with so many pictures, you know. So it's something to read over and over and over again, and you get something different sometimes. But I like the nature aspect of her poetry. The forest adorns herself with a woolen coat covered with blaze orange soft fluff, enjoying listening to the air perfuming glorious music performing. I got it. I did the same thing. I just called it perfuming, but it's performing glorious music and singing cheerful romantic songs fascinate the senses. Yeah, I've seen her poetry quite often actually, so I really enjoy the imagery. If you get what I mean, it's when you say something, it just comes out. The pictures are there.
Yeah, she's glorious in that fact. Yeah. Tammy.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. Just the way that she's a balance of nature and life with, like you said, color and fragrance and in a picturesque setting. And I like the orange blaze part too. Everybody seems to take to that. I think it's like the warmth of the feeling of it too. But absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm sure she would appreciate your comment. AP.
Yeah, it's a lovely image, Liquid Damage, and she's really gone with a beautiful sort of autumnal sort of set of colours and set of descriptions, and they've obviously really, you know, worked for her with the number of people that have read it, commented, and just the front page pick that she got from it.
Right. Cool. I'm sure Rhonda would be greatly appreciative of all the nice comments. Next, we're going to go on to another poet named Adi Bookworm.
We can do that.
You got that one, AP?
Yes, I'm just grabbing it right now.
You are just a wonderful help.
Just one tick. It is there now. So just refresh everybody, and it should be sitting in front of you.
All righty. I guess. Come on. Let me. Tammy, you want to read this one?
I don't have it pulled up.
Oh, I see. Okay. AP, you want to read it?
I can do it if you like. Good Damage, so leave it with me. This is Cold Night by Adi Bookworm, and it goes a bit like this. In the cold winter night, a man with the beard white by some means looks so deranged. Perched upon the bench beside the road range, covering his body with the cloak. His eyes are numb, as if made of ice. It says a lot, like an acute that dark night looms with a fright, the breezy air cleaving his body as if he is dead. The wrinkles on his face and hands, they tell stories of a life he lived, above now craving the warmth, as if he is missing his dearly wife. End poem.
Wow. Good read, AP. Yeah, this was a very interesting piece with lovely imagery and awesome metaphors. And although it speaks of true memories he's kept in his pocket, at the end, truly an intricate piece written from your heart. My favorite part is the dark night looms with the fright, the breezy air cleaving his body as if he were dead. This gives a vivid and terrified picture of where the old man's at. Well written. And I would hope that Addie would join us again. She's a very good writer. Minstrel.
Yeah, it's a story of loss, love and loss. And he lives on and she's gone and he's dearly missing her. And it's done very, very well. I like the words used, you know, for his emotions, like the cloak, you know, covering his body, as perched upon the bench beside the road range, covering his body with a cloak. His eyes are numb, as if made of ice, but says a lot, like an acute. That dark night looms with affright, the breezy air cleaving his body as if he is dead. The wrinkles on his face and hands, they tell stories of a life he lived, above now craving the warmth as if he is missing his dearly wife. That really is a long longing, I think.
Yeah. Good comment. Thank you, Minstrel. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, look, it's a poem that sort of hits you emotionally because of the description and sense of that person that sort of as if they've been left behind, with the world sort of going on without them. And there's something quite sort of strong about the loss that brings across.
Cool. And let's get one more comment and then we're going to put Debs up on. Tammy, what did you think of it?
The parts that I could really pick up on, it just makes us think about, for me, how fragile we are, how fragile life is, how we should never take for granted, because we never know that when the people we love are going to leave us, especially our partners. And I think it's true, once our partners leave us, as he said, we age faster. We die a little sooner, a little quicker, because we long to be with them. I think a lot of spouses end up feeling that way, that have been together, you know, 50 plus years or more.
Right. Good comment. AP, do you want to grab Debs? Hi, Deborah.
I have, and it's off the board.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I remembered your message. So
awesome.
I think you should be on the board now. AP got
she
it.
Is.
Awesome. Well, this is called Dragon Clouds Escort the Sun on the Rise. And here we go. Pink stains the moon, marking sky shadowed blue. On mowed lawns green with chamomile tints. The clouds float in view, shifting shapes as they do, and tint stars glitter neon white glints. But the blush from the light glow eclipses as the dark hangs like a black window drape. The shroud shrift to dragons with big outstretched wings, then blowtorch hues cover the landscape, flying into the sun as the goldfinches sing. And poem.
Aw, Deb, you always put such a sweet thing on the end, such a note of everything's okay. And this is like one of your beautiful ones. The beginning verse is just beautiful. Pink stains the moon, marking skies shadowed blue. On mowed lawns, green with chamomile tints. God, I can smell the cut grass and just bask in that blue sky. So beautiful. You definitely wrote this from your heart. My favorite part, of clouds that float in view, shifting shapes as they do, and tin stars glitter neon white glints. I just love that. The stars glitter neon white glints. That's beautiful. And I can see that up in the sky. This is an awesome poem, Deverly. Let me give you some more comments.
Thank you, Linda.
Tammy, you're very welcome. Tammy.
I really like this a lot. I enjoyed this. I thought it was fun. I thought it was whimsical and entertaining, colorful, beautiful imagery. Love the part of the dragons, how animated the visuals were with the dragon. I really enjoyed this.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
AP.
Deb is the expert at color. Good damage.
Yes.
And so I just love the image that she chose and the fact that she sort of went through the colors and so in such a bold way and then finished with the dragons and the roar of the heat. It was just really, really brilliant brevity.
Thank you very much.
Right on. And Minstrel.
Yeah, very good poem. I like the dark and the light that I see in it, and it reflects like the evening of a sunrise, but it reflects the evening disappearing. You know, the dragon and which meaning the darkness, the goldfinch meaning the golden sunrise, it's a beautiful poem, and I guess the two lines that I really like the most, but the blush from the light's glow eclipses as the dark hangs like black wind drapes. It's really, really cool. It's the black window drapes of the evening kind of just going away. So I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Cool. Right on. So next up, thank you everybody for your lovely comments, is Carmine. You want to grab Carmine's AP?
Yeah, I will do.
It's called The Swing.
Yep, this one too.
And Minstrel, would you like to read this next poem?
Okay. I'll just wait for it to come up.
Yeah. Just give me two ticks and I'll Minstrel this one. So it's just, where has this gone? Here we are. Copy. And then we go there. Then we go here.
Oh, we
can. And it should
we?
Be there.
Oh, well.
You
refer
to now.
Okay. The swing. Grandpa Otto made me a long time ago for his grandson Todd, who had polio. Heavy rope and teak wood hung from the old oak tree, firmly planted on a hill. I overlooked the sea. Home of robin, blue jay, squirrels became my simple pride, even more when boys and girls Todd knew came to ride. Swinging high, swing low, like an eagle on the wing, to hear those children laugh moved my world to sing. Sadly broken when Otto passed. Soon after, crushed, young Todd too, couldn't fight pneumonia when he got the flu. But sorrow has its limits and love, like a song, healed broken hearts when Ava, Todd's sister, came along. A gorgeous picture princess, a special precious joy. A graceful Lady Ava grew, who one day met a boy, Aiden, his name, a handsome lad, loved to swing on me. In time, as one they married and had a family, I became their swing. More memories recall. It's amazing how some wood and rope can warm the hearts of all. End poem.
Well read. Oh, Carmine. This is just so very clever how you personified the rope and swing. Making the rope alive was just a great choice. And the heart of the rope is loving and good, creating a place for children to come and play. The imagery in this is spectacular. I think my favorite part is swing high, swing low, like an eagle on the wing. To hear those children laugh, move my world to sing. This is an epiphany of life, a single rope bringing so much joy. Thank you for this, Carmine. It was clever and entertaining. That was a beautiful poem. You read it, Minstrel. What did you think?
Well, I really love the personification of the swing. It really is really remarkable. With all the children that it came along to swing on it, and right through the poem is person after person, and this is a long, long history. I think it's marked by 82 years for this swing. So it's really I love the life that's told through these, you know, the ages and all the different characters that manage to swing on this swing. It's really, really a nice poem. I enjoyed that.
Right on. Deb, are you still here? Did Deb have to leave us? I guess so.
I think might have, yeah.
Tammy, what did you think?
I really like this. I think that the swing represents the beautiful nostalgia of life, you know, of different lives on the swing, particularly the one that caught me was the boy with polio and how when he was on it, he felt free, like he didn't have polio. So I could identify with that because I have a handicap, so I could actually feel that sensation he would be feeling as far as feeling that freedom on the swing and just how that swing represents through the years and the ages, you know, too, of everybody.
Right. Thank you for that. AP, what did you think?
Look, the lovely thing about Carmine's poems is they've got beautiful perspective, Linda. You know, Carmine's been with us for a number of years, and he looks at things with a very clever and wise set of eyes, and then he looks at what that means. You know, and what conclusions he draws, and he always does it in a very careful, measured way, and it's a beautiful thing to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like the emotion. I like the emotion it evokes when reading it. It's very, very subtle, but it comes in. It's very powerful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Let's go on to Pee-wee now.
Yep.
And I think Pee-wee, let me see.
I've
did
got it
he
now.
Have, I wonder if he
my,
had
this
two.
This is the one from last week. Yeah, this is the one from last week. Has to be there.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll put up first.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, there we go.
And did you want to read it, Linda?
Sure. Let me click over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Had to Be There by Pee-wee Cuson. Abacus Day spent calculating, time equals pain. Still waters running deep, along, alone, and within. Finding decisive, trapped here, loathsome and insane, flaws too weighty to keep, conscious clocking sin. Choking sin, I'm sorry. Remembrance of morose melodies, sweet melody, melodic lies, whispers swirling within, expansive ether. Immersive in imminence in eyes of my demise, a vision in moonlight, guess you'd had to be there. Last dance with my only remaining friend, never to be known or walk this path again. Wow, Pee-wee. Pee-wee is another writer that just comes with some big bags. Pee-wee, I just love your wordage. It makes for an intelligent and heartfelt read. This is a beautiful tribute to yourself, I'm thinking. This is a fabulous combination of abstract and concrete thinking that creates a tearful reaction from the reader. My favorite part is immersive imminence in eyes of my demise, a vision in moonlight, guess you had to be there. Nice imagery in this, Pee-wee, and a gentle touch. Great job. Thank you very much for sending that over. Mistral, what did you think?
Well, I love the way he brings out the emotions. There's pretty strong emotions within it, too. The abacus days, meaning time, calculating time, equals pain. So in there, he's talking about life and that just so much pain within life. Still waters running deep, along, alone, and within. So the loneliness that he feels. So right throughout the poem, there are so many different things, so many melancholy emotions that come in. It's subtle, but they come out strong and they leave an impression. So it's really, really well worded.
Yeah, exactly. AP, thank you, Minstrel.
Yes.
What did you think, AP?
I thought it was an interesting poem, well read too, by the way, It sort of mixed words and ended up coming up with a real sort of mirror of sound and it had a real feel and a sense of there's almost sorrow. It was interesting, I really enjoyed it. Linda.
Great, and Tammy.
I thought it was beautiful. It is quite abstract. It does evoke pretty profound emotions of sadness, I would say. But that's what pulls the reader in. So
yeah,
I thought it was very good.
Right on.
Yeah. And I guess you had to be there, a very perfect line, because everybody does feel these emotions. And so by just that one line, it's like, I know what you mean.
Right. Well, good job, Pee-wee. And the next one will be Rosie Boa.
Yep. You can do that. And we've almost got through the list then from last week. So we do. We should say too to Monarch, if you've got a poem that you want to put it straight up on the board, that'd be appreciated too. So, but Rosie Bowers' poem's up now.
I sent one.
Okie doke. Can you see it, Liquid Damage?
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm reading again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to read.
Spore.
You want me to?
You want to read this one? Why don't you go ahead and read this one?
Yeah. Yeah, let's give this a go. So this is Spore, as you said, by Rosie Bower, and it goes a little bit like this. I drank a lake in a pool of midnight. My lungs swam with tadpoles, frogs that filled the dark with song. I ate crickets and bugs of all sizes and jobs. Damp stones with warm dreams. You trick the world to think you have noise and peace. The train rolling through the desert, a loud car rippling down your stream. You don't see it, but you can tell it's cherry red. Won't you think of me like this? Smoky, licensed ginger beets around the corner. Feet at the bathroom stall, voice of your gravity. Rose by another name, strong as your father, just like Mom used to make. Birds you like to watch in thick forest. Hair ground you choose, rest your head. And what you make of the clouds in pop.
Well, nice read, AP. I found this to be an interesting piece as well. It too had concrete and abstract parts of it, which makes it very cool. The imagery here is striking and mesmerizing at the same time. I really like the beginning, verse 1. I drank a lake and a pool of midnight. Awesome way to start this poem, but my favorite part is Rose by another name, strong as your father, just like your mom used to make. Great metaphor here, and thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I hope you come back, Rosie Boa, if you're out there listening. Really nice poem. I found it to be very clever, and let's get you some more comments. AP.
Yeah, it was an interesting. We've had a couple of abstract sort of pieces, and both of them, their strengths are in setting up a sort of visual image of what's going on through the words. And I really enjoyed reading this and enjoyed the sort of little picture that was painted with the words. Liquid Dutch.
Thank you very much. Terry.
It was a little bit hard for me to hear this time. I could tell the words were beautiful and abstract. I could hear that. I just couldn't get all the whole sense of it, the content.
Right. Well, that's okay. Minstrel.
Yeah, I found it very unique. You know, a lot of abstract terms in here, and it my mind has always been a rebel. So when I pick up on certain things like the train rolling through the desert, a loud car ripping down your street, you don't see it, but you can tell it's cherry red. Won't you think of me like this? You know, I see the rebel in him at the same time or her, and it's really it captures you, you know, it captures you, and then you move on to smoky incense, ginger beets, it's foreign sounds, like you're in a foreign country, you know, for me, I'm in Canada, so it's these senses that brings the taste and smells into the poem itself too. So it has imagery, but it also has sensory perceptions in it as well. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, right on. Very cool. And I think that was the last of our holdovers.
Did you get
one,
Linda?
So, what?
Did you read?
No, we're
mine?
Not done. These were just poems from last week that didn't get read that we were reading first.
understand.
Yeah, I think I got your piece. I remember seeing it. Let me take a look real quick.
Okay, no, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got your piece on here. It would be towards the end.
Do you want me to grab it? I think we've got the piece. We can put it straight up. Yeah, let's see.
Oh. Hi, Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Sky.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you can make it to my show.
Yeah, I work like 13 hours on Friday, so I usually don't call them. But I decided I'd stop by today and say hello and
thank you. Yeah, we're looking for a poem right now. So in the meantime, I got a joke. Why are friends a lot like snow?
Good question.
Because they're all unique.
If you pee on them, they disappear.
I like your answer better.
What's green and eats meat?
What?
I think I can say this. Syphilis.
Oh.
That's terrible.
Holy moly. And a horrible joke.
I'm getting into the bad jokes now. I was running out of material. That it's the same stuff every week when I go through the joke thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I got one for you, okay? What do you call a tick on the moon?
What do you call
a tick on the moon? A tick on the moon.
On the moon. I don't know. What do you call a tick on the moon?
A lunatic.
Of course. Very cute.
Guess we're all there.
Tammy, what's your username on All Poetry?
Tammy687.
Tammy687. Okay. I don't think it wasn't showing on the board. So what poem did you want to read, Tammy?
Well, I put up one of my newest, which is called Happiest Moments.
We can grab that. Okay, bear with me. It will be on the board in two ticks.
Okay.
So it is
one,
up there.
Two.
Now.
Three.
There you go. There you go. Wasn't it about three ticks? Is that right?
Okay. Am I all set?
You're all set.
Okay. Happiest moments. The happiest moments of my life was birthing my children and giving life. To look in amazement at what my body could do, there is pain, yet you soldier on through. The labor of her in its purest form begged me to cuddle her tiny being in protective warmth. So precious, delicate, and petite, a miracle right down to her miniature feet. Her bloodline roots go far back in history. She will mature and experience all of life's mysteries. I pray for her abundance of happiness and serene, confident peace. Perhaps one day she'll captain her own ships, a whole massive fleet. She shall explore the oceans and our world, helping people through their perils. Millions of lessons to be learned. We must teach them one that's truly earned. love, end poem.
Wow. This is beautiful, Tammy. I mean, you've written about your children before, so I know you have an amazing bond with them. But this is from life, from the moment of life. You've taken these memories and brought them to life. And just an amazing body of work. I don't even know if I could pick my favorite part. This is just so delicately done. And I love the strength at the end of the poem where you say, I pray for her abundance of happiness and serene, confident peace. Perhaps one day she'll captain her own ships, a whole massive fleet. I love that because, yes, those tiny little feet can one day grow into whatever they want to. Captain of a ship. Astronaut, whatever, and you brought that to attention here in a very well written poem. So I thank you. You're very welcome, Sky. Do you want to comment on that?
I thought it was beautiful and a beautiful tribute, and I love how you put in. Where was it? Her bloodline roots go far back into history because, you know, when you start to look at it and you're like, all these things had to happen, all these people had to meet and all these connections had to be made. And, you know, it isn't just the future, but it is very much also the past. So I love that you put that in there. And it brings a sense of belonging as well. And, again, I thought the little miniature feet was cute with that catch rhyme. I thought that was, babies just, they have these tiny little bodies, and I love that you put that in there. And right here, we said it's tough and it's hard to go through, but you do it. You do it for your child, and you go through that pain, and there's something beautiful there. And so I think it was a beautiful piece and a wonderful tribute to your daughter.
Right, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. Or children. Your children. Sorry. Yeah.
AP.
I appreciate that so much.
I think Liquid Damage, the minute that you have a child, it changes your view of the world that you're in, and it changes the view of the world that you're in for ever and completely, and tips it on its head, and it there's so many things that change that I'm not going to list them all, but it's just a remarkable thing, one of the most powerful changes and influences on our lives, and I think you've really captured that here.
Thank you so much.
Right on.
So very grateful. Thanks so much.
And Minstrel.
I thought it was a very, very touching poem. I enjoyed it. It encapsulates a very beautiful experience in birthing life, the creation, and it describes the miracle. And as you see this new life in front of you, and you want to protect it, and you want to, you have all these hopes and dreams, and you feel the empathy. Setting the paths going forward for life is really something. She shall explore the oceans in our world, helping people through their perils. Millions of lessons to be learned. We must teach them one that's truly earned. Love the poem.
Thank you.
Oh, that just makes me so happy. Thank you.
You're a beautiful writer, Tammy. Your last poem that you read was just as exquisite. I mean, come on, you write from your heart, and that's, as poets, that's what we strive to do, is write from our hearts and our souls and paint that as a picture on a page, and we can't go wrong, you know?
Thank you. Well, that's sensitivity.
Although I do sometimes.
I put Sky's poem up next because I know Sky's been awake for half the day and half the night. So I thought she might appreciate reading and running.
Absolutely. Okay, let me...
Can you see the piece there, Scott? Hello, Scott. I put you back.
No, it was my fault. I dropped. Yes, I do appreciate that. Thank you. this is... So I picked this one, I wrote it a minute ago, because I tend to read a lot of stories that you write, so I'm pretty sure you like that genre. And this is a prequel to a series that I put together for young readers, but it's called The Four Kings. Before Aunt Xavier and Aura of the Twilight's Ark ruled the realm taken from Tyrant's Dark, there lived the four kings of Kraken's Gold, the four masked betrayers of kingdoms old. They were not given a name of king by land, nor by the rotting blood of royal mausoleum. They claimed the earth, the sky, and the fire pit, one to each as painted in ancient hieroglyphs. Pephorius Darien was the first to strike a deal, the ruthless captain of the Black Gabbros Hill. And he was said to have the skin of splintered brass and eyes of purple quartz and ebony sea glass. He blackened ships and pillaged pocket kills and fire water lit in the four corners of sea groves, leaving shorelines with glints of violet stones, a dusting of ghost shadows and rainbow bones. One night he whispered a haunting Sirrah song, and the wind carried it like luggage on her sarong, and caught the ear of a sleeping kraken deep below, and the twill weave of corduroy ribs began to crow. A low grinding tightrope of cords rippled to a lull, and surfaced there beside the Black Gabbro's skull was the beast with bloodshot eyes peering at him through the misting fog of evening, darker grim. He played on with tears of umbrellas, cloud sky, the tap, tap, tap while looking into the beast's eye. When the song was done, the kraken was gratified, and with an old magic granted life immortalized. The kraken gave him power to share with three, and that is how the four kings of old came to be. Now with the seven realms torn by daughters, they hide in shadows with the strength of water, waiting to strike the Ark-Owls down with bane to rule the four corners of Seagrove once again. And poem.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you come up with all this stuff in your brain? That's fantastic.
I have this series of poems, the Ark Owls, the eight Ark Owl shapeshifters, and it's this whole thing, and this was like a prequel to that.
That is so cool. I love this. It was magical and enchanting and all those brilliant words, but it was so smartly written. It was so intelligent, and it had a purpose, and it wasn't like you just threw a bunch of words together trying to make something magical. You worked this page, and I'm highly impressed by the depth of just the depth of thought that you took to put this together is amazing. I loved it. So let me get you some more comments.
Thank you, Linda.
Minstrel. You're very welcome, Sky.
Yeah, I found it very lush in imagery. Very, very descriptive. It brings out a very fantasy world, storytelling, history. There's a whole other world there. And it's well described. And I like I think there's so much in here. I'm just going to pick out a stanza and reread, because you have to read to capture it, you know, capture everything. And this one particularly. I don't know how to pronounce it, but you tell me if I get it right, okay? Porphyrios Darien was the first to strike a deal, the ruthless captain of the Black Gabbro sails. He was said to have the skin of splintered brass and eyes of purple quartz and ebony sea glass. That's really, very, very descriptive for eyes, and you get a sense of fantasy world. It's really cool.
Yeah, Sky had to go. I think, Sky, are you still there?
No, I'm here. I'm still here.
Oh, it said you dropped.
No, I dropped right before I read, but I called right back. That was before I did. That's why I had to be unmuted. Yeah.
Right on. So, Tammy.
She's really talented. It was, for me, that was like sitting in front of the teacher reading me a beautiful children's story. It was fantastical. It was taking me to a land where the pirates are, adventure, the kings, all of it. I could see all of it, the imagery. As a child, I could see myself just looking and listening in wonderment, you know? Just
right.
Thinking. Just outstanding job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cool. And AP, what did you think?
Well, I won't completely give away the farm here, but I just said that there's a lot of kids that would dream of having a teacher that would be able to put into words this fantasy land that the Sky has, and I just think it's wonderful that that's what Sky does, and that sense of mystery and purpose and adventure is still there in her heart, and she's there sharing with kids, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Right on.
Thank you, Lizzie.
So, AP, did you brought something, right? How'd you like to go next?
Well, I could do that. I'm going to encourage Minstrel to put a poem up too, though, because he's been very ably following us along. So
who's
if
that?
If you could do that, that would be great. Minstrel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Sky.
I'm going to say goodnight because I got
thank you for coming.
I got to get this little person who's going to sleep in my arms in bed. So
yeah.
I hope you have a wonderful night.
Good,
and
thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night, Sky.
Thank you, Doc.
Mr. I'm so sorry. For some reason, I thought you read already, but I didn't mark it down right. So, let's get Minstrel up there, because I have a feeling.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to go and then Minstrel?
I will go while Minstrel sends his copy. Yeah, that's what we'll do, because we've got one from Minstrel as yet. So I was going to get him a bit of time to search one through, but I've got the Breeze Stirs up, and it goes a bit like this.
Leaves
they stir on a fine silk cord that connects them back into boughs, the same boughs mesh, so trunks broad as downward upon earth they espouse, seek deep nutrition and water source spread many times larger than the tree. Connection tested by the wind's course and by the weather with its hurrying lee. And the tree has a gestalt and frame that a single leaf cannot hope to divine. Still belief is on a journey the same. future connected to soil and sunshine. If we were leaves with lives as a tree, well, our futures we sensed out as dew. The force is winds which are moving me and are surrounding and carrying you in thought.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you. I love it.
And it matches your picture that you painted. That's a good one, AP. Very nice.
Yes. That was when my hand was scuffed. I was using my left hand. So it's a left-handed picture.
This is wonderful because, you know, it speaks of the tree as a life-giving source. I mean, it's from their leaves we get breath. And I just love the way you say, seek deep nutrition and water source, spread many times larger than the tree, connection tested by the wind's course and by the weather, which it's hurrying, Lee. Yeah, trees are our, I mean, if it wasn't for trees, we would be dead. And your poem
exactly.
makes them sound majestic and strong and you know, something somebody would want to write a poem about is what it is. And you've got so many good, such good stuff in here that I couldn't pick out my favorite part, but I think it might be this. And the tree has a gestalt and frame that a single leaf cannot hope to divine. Still the leaf is on a journey the same, future connected to soil and sunshine. I like the rhyme in that. It really flowed well. But your message was really cool, too. Let me give you some more comments. Tammy.
I like the line you just said, too. It kind of says that we're all connected, just like the leaf is with the sunshine and the soil. And I like the way it kind of brings up environmental awareness of the trees, how we shouldn't take them for granted because without them we can't breathe. So if we can't breathe, we don't live. So
right.
And I just think it was beautifully, the words flowed beautiful, and yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Very cool. Minstrel.
Yeah, I enjoyed that because it actually leads into mine. But it's like the leaves themselves are fragilely connected to the source of life. Every leaf is an individual, just like we are. So it's almost like a personification in reverse. I'm not sure if you can see it, but it's very, very close to that. You can put yourself into that as connected to the source of consciousness, and then fall away. And we're all individuals, and it's a very fragile connection, which is life. And so that's what I get out of it. It's really, really cool. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very nice. Okay. Now, I've kept Mitchell waiting so long.
Oh, I'll listen to him and then I have to go.
Okay. Well, I thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Well, your point is definitely...
Thank you. I enjoy being here, and everybody's just so extremely talented. So I'll listen to Mr. Yes, everybody. Just what a talented group, always.
Well, I have happened to have read the piece that Minstrel was going to put up, and you guys are in for a treat.
Yeah, I put it up on the board there.
We can see it.
Is it
up in your hands? Yes,
okay.
It is.
So would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. The hazy state of being. Human existence in all of its strife, forever searching the meaning of life. But before our eyes, the answers are there. All that's created come in a pair. Our presence is mirrored above and below, on tree, the universe, its makeup and flow. On earth we are given the essence of seeing, our connection to trees, its air and well-being. For lungs are the branches, our handprints the leaves. Tree rings on fingers are lifetimes we weave. No two are alike, not human nor tree, yet under the sky is our quest to be free. As we look to the sky, where learning's begun, compared to the atom, the planets and sun, micro and macro, uncover the distance, atomic patterns repeat in existence. Billions of stars, the galaxies full, trillions of planets in gravity's pull, cosmic magnetics in clusters that form the roads that connect us to weather the storm. Synaptic connection, galactic mind, with light and darkness, now both intertwined, as seen through the iris, nebula and soul, pupils dilated, becomes a black hole. Black holes within us, to take it all in, learning and measure the truth and the sin. For all is before us, including the storm, as galaxies swirl in hurricane form. In humans and nature, above and below, all are evolving as one cosmic soul. End poem.
My goodness. Wow. That is just totally awesome. I'm so glad you sent this in, because when I read it earlier, I was like, wow, I'm really blown away by this. And it has so many good parts, and the imagery in this is stellar. I love the part about the humans and nature above and below are all evolving as one cosmic soul. But to pick a favorite part, I cannot. The whole thing is just wonderful. Minstrel, you have just blown me away. Let me give you some more comments. This is just a really cool poem. AP.
Well, I love that it rhymes, number one. And number two, I love that you've used a really sort of specific and almost clipped rhyme pattern. The syllable count's really short, even though the words are long, and it creates this rhythm in the poem, and that builds upon itself as it goes down the page, and it's a very elegantly written piece.
Well, thanks very much.
And did Tammy leave?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, would you like to comment on Minstrel's?
Sure. Exceptional. I mean, just every part of it, just outstanding. I just loved it. I thought it was exquisite. I like the parts about the cosmos and space, and all of the parts of it were favorites for me, so I can't say there was one favorite part.
Thanks
it was
very
amazing.
Much.
Right.
It was amazing.
That's what I said.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You're welcome.
All righty. Let me check something here.
I will see.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
Good night, Tammy.
Good night, everyone.
Tammy.
Good night.
Wow. We should get a second flow in here soon. Let's see. Let's do some SoundClouds. Let's do
okay.
Phil, and then Quicken.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
you
want to
grab
Phil? Yeah. I will. Yeah. And if you once you see it, you just grab the and play the SoundCloud.
Okay.
Just one tick. It's coming on now. So it should be there now if you refresh.
Okay.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called The Missing Pot of Gold. One day I met a leprechaun in emerald green, shaking his fist, uttering words so obscene. Give me back my pot of gold, or bad luck will begin to unfold. I was taken aback in a bit of a shock when he threw a bunch of shamrock which grew inside me uptight. In that place I spent the night. This whole thing seemed so bizarre, especially when he dived into a whiskey jar. As he came, making crazy shapes, this is when I made my escape. I ran to the edge of the rainbow, when I saw a pot with a yellow glow. Behind me was the patter of tiny feet. He cursed and started grinding his teeth. He jumped and clung to my face. His breath smelt of peppered mace. I pulled him off and wondered what to do. Then an idea came to mind that was so crude. I tied him up and dangled him over a bowl. He screamed, pleading for his very soul. I promised that he wouldn't come to harm, but drowned him in a spoonful of Lucky Charms. And a poem.
Okay, got me.
Phil, you are so funny. This was awesome. Your rhyming was excellent in this, first of all, and your imagery was quite vivid. The whole thing came off so well. I mean, you got us right to the end. I'm dying here. My favorite part was, of course, the last verse. I tied him up and dangled him over a bowl. He screamed, pleading for his very soul. I promised that he wouldn't come to harm, but drowned him in a spoonful of Lucky Charms. It just gets me. I thank you, though, for sharing this, Phil. It was terrific. Real crowd pleaser. Let me give you some more comments. Minstrel.
Yeah, I like Phil's poetry. I see it there now and then, and I enjoy it. He's a good storyteller, you know. It gets you, pulls you in, and brings you. And then I'm like you. I got caught. I got caught up. Oh no, he's going to kill this guy. it's Lucky Charms, you know. Happy St. Patty's Day, by the way. Good poem. I enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. That's funny though. Is Phil doesn't usually come off with the humor part. I mean, sometimes he does, and when he does, he does. But he's usually a very serious writer. So mm-hmm. for this, when I read that last line, I was like, oh, it can't be. Very funny. AP, what did you think?
It was good fun, Linda. All good poetry, actually. Lead you astray to a place where, you know, the reality is different from what the conclusion is. And that's what he did here. He just led us down a metaphorical garden path and then surprised us with the last line, and that's good fun. So, and good humor is hard to do, and that's what he did. So, yeah, impressive. And now I've got a new caller on too, Linda.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a funny feeling this might be Hatter.
Oh, we got...
Unmuted. I made it.
Hey, Hatter.
I just woke up, sorry. Hi.
What's up, Hatter?
Nothing. I just woke up. Took a nap.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Well, you're here.
Well, what was the dream then?
I was dreaming of eating something, believe it or not, so I'm starving.
Wow. Huh. Oh, we got you. Phil. Oh, Quicken. Let's do Quickens.
We can do that.
Yep.
Just putting it on the board now, Linda. And I think she's, is that going to SoundCloud for Quicken?
I got SoundCloud for Quicken.
All right. Well, if that's the case, we're off and running, and we can play the SoundCloud.
A Shadowed Gnome by Quicken. Hello, my dear friend. I caught myself writing you a note. The one who's always with me. My quiet companion on these solo journeys. It's like a little nod of appreciation to you. Put together during those calm twilight moments when you stand out so clearly against the fading light. I'm a shadow. You're always there. Keeping up with me. Gliding across sidewalks and weaving through the grass. Side by side, we're moving rhythm, in tune with the world's pulse under our feet. You know, but that's funny chatting with you like this, almost like you've been there through every silent chapter of my life, watching it all manifest. In your quiet presence, I find a reflection that's not caught in any mirror, but drawn in light and shadows instead. You're like my shadowy other half, quietly catching every tear that never hits the ground, and echoing back the laughter that the sky swallows up before it has a chance to linger. You've walked with me, a true companion molding to the world's curves beneath us. I wonder, what stories could you tell of the textures under our feet? From the harsh, cold concrete to the soft, welcoming grass. In you, I see the essence of me, a silhouette breathing with my lungs, pulsing with my heart, yet without a heartbeat of its own. I often ponder over how your life is intertwined with mine, yet it's so distinctly your own. Do you feel a sense of calm when night wraps around us and you blend into the darkness? Or is there a part of you that misses the light, the very thing that gives you form? In the silent moments we share, I started to see you as more than just a shadow. To me, you're a keeper of secrets, a protector of those brief passing moments that go wordless. Having you quietly by my side has been such a comfort, always there without passing judgment, grounding me and reminding me where I stand in the grand scheme of things. Ours is a strange kind of friendship, isn't it? Bound together by light, yet we're worlds apart in every other sense. This note's for you, for always being there. To shout out to the way you've matched my every move, caught me when I've tripped, and jumped for joy with me in my happiest times. You're so much more than just a shadow. You're a quiet friend, with me through every up and down. A reflection that doesn't sugarcoat anything, but shows the real, unfiltered journey we're on together. As I sit here, words spilling out, I'm really just saying thanks. Thanks for sticking by me, for being that silent strength at my side. You and my shadow, you're a part of me that's always there, steady as the world spins on. This note, it's my way of recognizing you, my constant friend, as we walk this journey together, through every splash of sunlight and every stretch of shade, leaving footprints on the soul of this world.
Wow. Man, I think this is so clever and beautiful. He really did a fantastic job. Our shadows are our first love. We learn as a child not to fear it, but to embrace it. And soon we are running around twirling and swirling with our shadows. And I just love the relationship he has with his. It tells me he has a lovely soul. My favorite part, of course, is the end. As we walk this journey together through every splash of sunlight and every stretch of shade, leaving footprints on the soul of this world. Just absolutely beautiful. No lovelier words have ever been written about a shadow before. This is just awesome, Quicken. Thank you. Minstrel, what did you think?
That was a really, really touching poem story. It who reminds me of that's like strength of consciousness. And we have an inner voice within us, and it's personified in the shadow itself. And it's always right. It's always there. It's always present. And I enjoyed it. That's what it brought to me, the imagery. So it was really, really wonderful. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, it was that pretty. Hatter. You there, Hatter?
Hatter?
Unmuted. Yes, I'm here.
Ha!
Yeah, I like the part where he thanks him for sticking by me. Thanks for sticking by me, for being that silent strength on my side. You know, mine's sort of the same way. Just it doesn't like rainy days. That was funnier in my head. Yeah. Now this note's for
it
you for funny. Being there, for always being there. Yeah, for always being there. It's like an exercise in poetry. Right about your shadow. Very good. Well thought out.
Yeah. Yeah. AP.
I was thinking about Hatter as the poem was read. I mean, Hatter's always had this sort of relationship and understanding of dark and light and shadows, and it's often in his poetry. And this was really fascinating because it sort of started in a sort of mystical way and then sort of ended almost sort of practically about that connection and linkage between something that was there and not there. And I thought it was very elegantly written.
Yeah, me too. Just a real ingenious piece. All righty. I think we need to do Titus.
We can do Titus. So let me
yeah.
put his palm up on the board. Liquid damage, and then
got a taper.
You can
got a
sound clip.
Got a taper.
Adam.
Somebody mute. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're pretty tight on time. You say better?
Yeah, no, I could just somebody's typing and you could hear it. Just
okay. Yes, we just need to be, if people are, need to
sorry, that was
get
me.
Them to mute themselves. Yeah, just
that's
mute,
okay.
mute yourself.
That's
right. Yeah, it sounds like an old tech, but if you could just mute while you're doing that, that'd be great. Okie doke. Linda, I've Titus's poem on the board, and I'll leave you in charge of the sound clip.
There we go.
It would seem for the moment truth pertaining the romance of a lifetime and the last dance I did not anticipate how specular she'd spin. Becoming molecular, it was an elusive woman thing. A love at first sight, it would seem for the moment as vivid a descry. With one's affections I cannot lie, ours was a love in a cold climate. Have once seen now a sublimate words, they'll supersede any worth of mention. If albeit of this earth to speak of seeing and retrieving, what was found before believing, good guidance from my own eyes, enough to take hold of why lies cannot be found nor to be erased, my heart remains as half crazed to compare how love gives a wise peripheral, the stars this paradise.
Wow. Wow, Tony, this is so romantic. The tone of your voice, the sound of the music, the lovely words that you afford us and is magnificent. To have a moment like that is ethereal, even if it's just for a moment. Your poetry has ascended and astounds me as a reader. Tony, this is beautiful. The part I liked the best, I did not anticipate how spectacular she'd spin. Becoming molecular, it was an elusive woman theme, a love at first sight. I am a so hopeless romantic myself and totally believe in love at first sight. And my heart beats for this poem. Thank you, Tony. AP.
Yes, it's got a beautiful tone and sense to it, Linda. I hope that Tony is not awake listening to this because it's 3:30 in the morning in the UK. But it's that Tony always packages his pieces up with music and with skill to give you, the reader and listener, something to really attach his words to, and he's done a beautiful job here.
Yes, yes. Minstrel.
Sorry about that. I had to unmute. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm still okay. I'm still rereading it. I'm also reading the author's notes, so I'm a little perplexed by it. It's of the person himself, and yet I have to reread it.
Right. No, I get you. I had to read it a few times. Certain spots in there, I had to get the dictionary out and kind of put the words together in the sentence. But his stuff is really beautiful.
It is.
Yeah. Hatter.
Yeah. You know, Titus, I always take Titus' classes as a place up, but one thing about him, he is able to relate to us the true love affair that he's in, and I'm totally jealous of that fact. To live your life with your soulmate, and he projects it very well. Thank you, Titus.
Okay. Hatter, did you have a piece?
I could throw a dart.
You can do that.
Whatever's in my queue.
And then I'll go.
Okay, there it goes. Stuck in a poetry
line.
Yeah,
I wonder what happened to my friend Jay.
Now,
he did karma.
Did you have to read?
Want me to read?
Yeah, you happy to read, or did you want me to?
No, go ahead, please. You read it so much better.
Yeah?
Thank you. Yep.
Righto. This is Stuck in a Poetry Line by Jay Hatter, and it goes a little bit like this. A sequence of time plays in my mind, always hearing your name. By design, to be so confined, my breath whispers in vain. Following where I sat just to stare at the world so far now it seems. Wandering down, I can still hear the sounds, the echoes haunting my dreams. I'm lost, not found, still underground, waving as if I am fine. What appears to be free, it's just me, stuck in a poetry line.
Wow, that was beautiful, Hatter. As usual, your rhyming is spot on, but just the whole essence of this poem reeks beauty. Your brain is like, it's just too much sometimes. Your poetry just That last line, what appears to be free, it's just me, stuck in a poetry line. It just sets that whole poem on a different level. But I really enjoyed it. Minstrel, what did you think?
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It's like being in the creative moment. You know, when you're writing in poetry, there's those feelings, and you want to grab that feeling and you want to put it on paper. And like you, I enjoyed the lines. What appeared to be free is just me, stuck in a poetry line. Very, very clever poem. I enjoyed that.
Right on.
Thank you.
And AP.
Yes, this is from the sort of what would you call this? Sort of the peak creative period about 5 years ago. Had it when you just everything you touch sort of turned to gold, and this has some wonderful lines in it, and it just rolls off the page and very classical sort of rhyme and cadence and great fun.
Thank you, AP, very much. Thanks for reading it.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. You want to grab my piece? I put two up there, but grab the first one because we got
grab
time.
The first one? We can do that. Yeah, yeah. First one we're grabbing. And it is up on the board now.
Oh, yeah, that is the one. This is A Telltale Fart by Liquid Damage. Mad, but I am not, so I can tell you of this man whose flatulence was what a plague, hence I came up with a plan. Every night when we'd sup, he'd sit back in his chair. Then he'd let his bowels to rip. This sent me on a dare. It's not just that, but through the day, he never tried to quit. He'd let them fly and cover it up with announcing some crude wit. One fine day when we sat and drank a pail of cider, he let one fly and then replied, "It must be barking spiders." Now every night this went on, he never let one free, and so I felt that he aimed his butt direct at me. But 'twasn't true, he labored not to send his evil smell direct at me, but rather he was aiming straight at hell. But I couldn't stand it, so I came up with this plan. If he wouldn't stop his farts, I'd murder this old man. So every night for 1 week at midnight I came spying, but horrendous was his bedroom air, I swear that I'm not lying. It happened upon the eighth night. When I came, I made a sound. It woke the man, and that made his flatulence abound. Now smelling all this hot gas is really not a plus, as well as all the gruesome smells coming out of his anus. So that is when the time came to kill the old man fast, because I couldn't take much more of the old man's gas. I came and flipped his bed on he, and he became stone dead. But now it came a smelly thing now haunting me instead. You couldn't call me crazy, for his body I did hide underneath the floorboards, as I knew unsanctified. His blood dripped in the bathtub through the floorboards just underneath. You couldn't find a trace of him from toenail to his teeth. But now he be dead, but haunts me still, but not with beating heart. I could smell old rotten eggs just like the old man's farts. The neighbor called on the police because they heard the screams. I told them that it must have been me waking from a dream. So then I invited them in to taste some tea. I sat on the very boards above where the body be. After searching this old house, nothing could they find. That's when they chose to sit and chat. I began to lose my mind. I could hear the farting still coming from his dead behind. I feared if it continued, the police would surely find. Then my head began to hurt as the farts got louder still. Soon I could not stand it and began to lose my will. Louder, louder they became. I screamed, "I'm not a nut, but can you hear the farting coming from the dead man's butt? Yes, indeed, I killed him. I can't take it any longer because he haunts me with his gas. Each moment it gets stronger. And so 'twas I arrested for this gruesome murder done. So remember, farting is no reason to go and off someone." End poem.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Hatta? <Enough. laughs>
Yeah, you know, pull my finger, you know, this whole thing. I wasn't raised in a family that went around and pulled my finger, so I was quite old when I first heard that term. I don't know why. It just But every time you bring this out,
we taught my 2-year-old barking spiders. That's where that part came from. When somebody would fart, I'd go barking spiders.
It was the
so,
dog.
So, AP, what did
it
you
the
think?
Dog.
Well, Linda, you always tell a story with a moral, and the moral is strong here. You know, no matter what the smell, just make sure you don't go and knock off people. And that's a strong moral, and you told it well.
Thank you very much. Minstrel.
Oh, I don't know how you could keep a straight face after that one. Going reading through it, oh my God. I'm glad I had it on mute because I was laughing back here. I recognized a lot of those terms. Yeah, I have to say, it's a great play on Poe.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I got the book that goes with the play, A Telltale Heart, and I pretty much followed along the lines of the play. So it's pretty right on.
I see that. It was really good.
I'm sure that's what he meant. Yeah, I'm sure that's what Poe meant.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And how you commented. And do we got time for? Yeah, we do.
We do.
Let's see. Let's do Jenny, the deep.
Let's do Jenny. We can do that. We're doing well, Linda. It is on the board. Now, did you want to read this one, or did you want me to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it.
Perfect.
It's a short one. It's cute.
It is.
A mind like Frankenstein's. I'm no genius like Albert Einstein. Nowhere near mathematically intelligent. I'm more like dismembered Frankenstein, a misunderstood belligerent. Never will this mind be respected, not like honorable Nobel Prize winners, introverted and ignored like a gust of wind, not to be invited to any of the elite dinners. All over in my mediocre mind, the dust scatters. Because for some, only the greatest minds matter. And in poem, by the way. This just shows what a beautiful mind she has. For some people did think Frankenstein was a beautiful creature and not an ugly monster. And Einstein, to me, was kind of funny looking. And Nobel Prize winners, well, all they got is another thing to dust. LOL. Anyway, I love your awesome poem. My favorite part was verse 1. Beautifully worded, and it's all in the way you look at it. Go, Jenny, go. Minstrel, what did you think?
I love the rebel. I love the rebel and rebellious
yeah.
words in her poetry, and so that gets me right there. I all over in my mediocre mind, the dust scatters because for some only the greatest minds matter. I love the ending, and I mean the whole thing is speaks truth to what's going on in the world. I enjoyed that.
Right, thank you for that. I'm sure she'd appreciate that. AP.
Yeah, it's a poem with quite deep meaning, isn't it? It's a simply written poem, but it's got that sort of sense of perspective and that sense of the world, which I can really relate to, and I think most people can. Liquid Damage.
Yeah, right on. And let me take a moment here to thank all my people tonight, my poets that keep my show alive. Frank, Phil, Quicken, and Titus on the SoundClouds. AP, my right hand, Tammy, Minstrel, Phil, Sky, Quicken, Frank, Rhonda, Audie Bookworm, Carmine, Dab, Pee-wee, Rosie Boa, Hatter, Titus, and Jenny the Deep so far. And did I get Pee-wee in there? Yes, I did. And we have, yeah. I think we have time for a couple more. Let me see. Oh, I got the wrong book. We could do Dave Muddy.
Yeah, Dave Muddy.
Yeah.
Let's put Dave up on the board. And he is there now. Look at them.
Do you want to read that, AP?
Yeah. This is my fellow Australian, Dave Muddy. This is called Flames of Change.
That's right.
It's a bit like this. It is. Flames of sorrow's dance, the scars, fears will enhance. Worth left on life's support, truth of his grace distort. Flames of mercy's pledge, take love to the edge. Worth left in holy hands, truth of his grace expands. Flames of the spirit's call, scars grip begins to fall. Worth whispered to our souls, truth of his grace in Christ.
Wow. Dave, this is so beautiful. You have painted with love this charming piece of art, and it speaks of love in its place and far beyond. I think I like the last verse the best. Flames of the spirit's call, scar's grip begins to fall. Worth whispered to our souls, truth of his grace controls. So very true. This is beautifully written with your heart and soul, and I adored it. Thank you very much, Dave, for sending another piece. AP, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was very elegantly written, and a very, you know, Dave has a sort of style, and he did this brevity in that style, and it's a meaningful piece.
Right on. Hatter.
Yeah, if you read the author's notes, it makes a lot more sense. Let's see. It says the phrase takes love to the edge is referring to the fact that love is not left in a safe place where it is easy to do, but it is taken to the very edge where a life is prepared to be given, a place where its full breadth, depth, and beauty is experienced, lived, and known. It gives the poem more substance. Sometimes the author's notes need to be read before the poem. Yeah, very
right.
Good.
Say, Minstrel, did you comment? No.
Yeah, it's Flames of Change. Very, very much like life. And we're all tested, and this is very spiritual too. So, and it pulls you in with very common feelings, but also a very spiritual part too. So I'm not going to use the word religious because it's not. It's very spiritual. So it's very, very well written about life itself, the tests that we go through in life. So I enjoyed that.
Right on. Well, I want to tell you, as of this moment, we have hit an all-time high for poems read here on my show at 18 poems. That's, like, incredible. And with that, I need a joke. How do you stop a baby from crying?
Good question.
Yeah, how do you stop a baby from crying?
I don't know.
Smile.
You feed it to an alligator.
Oh, that'll do.
Okay, what do you call a chicken dining on scrambly eggs?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Rope a Mother's Child Reunion. I made that one up myself. That's my joke.
Well, can I give you one, Linda?
Yes, you may. Please do.
Okay. What do you call a lazy baby kangaroo?
What
do you think? What do you call it? A pouch potato.
Pouch potato. Very good. You got a joke,
Hatter?
I got
one. Yeah. A dyslexic man walks into a bra.
That's a good one. I like that as good as a termite walks into a bar and asks the bartender here.
Yes.
Is the bartender here? A termite? That's my favorite bartender joke.
What?
We're bad. Okay. Let me see. I don't think... Oh, do we have any more poems?
We've got one last one. We've got one last one, and
is
Lawrence.
Okay. Who's going to read Lawrence?
I can do it if you like.
Okay. Let me get up there.
Okay. This is AI in the house. And it goes a bit like this. AI, hello. You are the lucky winner of one free AI training lesson valued at over $99, all absolutely free. AI, well, thank you very much, my dear friend. But you have won a coupon for 1 week of AI training at the Prestige Holiday Inn this weekend, sponsored by the Qantas AI Club. Hooray for that. But you have just won an all-expense-paid trip to the world-class AI Championships being held at the Armory in Frankfurt, France, where I will be winning said championships. AI, well, good luck with the championships, but you have just won an all-expenses-paid trip to the Nobel Peace Prize World of AI Tournament, valued at over $5 million for you and your entire city. Everyone else will be vying for second place, as IBAI with the mood will be mopping up the floor with all of them. One of these AI. Well, we'll see about that, because I'm entered in the same contest and I'm going to kick your ass, you fake ass, which, well, good luck with that. Bucko, you're invited to the AI Blow 'em Up Championships, where you'll be selling off 5 nuclear missiles in your direction. Hot books for everyone within a 50-mile radius. Yeah, you want to go right now, you cheap-ass piece of metal. End.
Lawrence. Oh, you silly man. You've been working overtime. Where do you get your funnies from? This is well-written and funny, Lawrence. I miss Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie, though. My favorite part was the first was so violent. Lee funny. Keep up the funnies, Lawrence. Verse 6. That was it. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Verse 6 was my favorite one. But I think it's time that it's over. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me to the end. Minstrel, thank you very much. AP, always a pleasure. Hey, AP, always a pleasure.
There you go.
There you
Thanks
go.
Thanks for
there.
Having us.
And Hatter, thank you for coming, and it's always a pleasure having you. And
thank you.
I think that's. Let me get back to the studio. Running down the hall. There we go. All right, everybody. I bid you adieu. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.